Now imagine how you look into the inventory in your house. You need the basic commodities in your house. So how much soda you buy, milk, toilet paper, gas, cereal, cash, how much cash you are keeping. Each and every item, if you understand, many times we have been storing it unnecessarily for a very long time. If you keep the cash at home, say 25 to 30,000 rupees, what will happen? You are losing on interest, and there are chances of some thief coming in and stealing that, or because it is available, your children maybe it will tend to use it more for some or the other purpose. Milk, if you are storing it more, what will happen? It's a perishable item. If you are not going to use it, it will go sour and then you'll have to throw away. So that much money is lost. If there is excessive gas, there are chances of flammability and then it can lead to fire. Cereal, if it is excessive, what will happen? Gradually it will lose its properties and then at times it will become such in a stale stage that you can't use it and you will have to throw it. So ultimately all the money is lost. So you'll have to consider what is the cost of not having it in a bulk, cost of going to the grocery or gas station. Maybe some time will be required to go there, how much money you require, cost of drawing money, cost of holding and storing, lost interest, price discounts. If you are getting in bulk, some discount you will get in price, but there is pros and cons to everything. How much you consume, first of all you should know. Some safety against uncertainty, of course, if there is a unpredictable environmental conditions, there is some strike, some transport strike, at times you may not be getting it at the right time. So some uncertainty is there, for that you may have to store partly, that's okay. Now cost of inventory, if you see the physical holding cost, there will be out of pocket expenses for storing inventory in the form of insurance. When you are keeping it for a long time, you will have to pay the insurance premium for that. Then security, you will have to have some security person looking after that so that the pilferage does not occur. There will be warehouse rental amount you will have to pay, and cooling. All costs that may be entailed before you sell it, that is, part of it may go obsolescence, so you'll have to throw away, that's totally lost. Spoilage, some amount of material can get spoiled if it is perishable, or there is going to be some expiry date for all the drugs, injections, so it can be spoiled, or if the technology has changed, you may have to rework on it, then only you can use it, because the new machine does not have that kind of slots for using that. Then even that will require labor cost, the training of the labor for the required skills to be adopted. Opportunity cost of inventory, that is the foregone return on the funds invested. Whatever funds are invested in the inventory, you are not going to get interest out of that, so it's a foregone return. Or you would have utilized it for something better, that's an opportunity cost. Operational cost, delay in detection of quality problems. If you are not able to detect the quality problems earlier, it will deteriorate faster and then it will become obsolete, or it is not functionable. Delay in introduction of new products. Now because you have got lot of inventory or certain finished products, you would like to sell it first, and so you are less likely to come out with the newer products, and hence to compete in the market it will be difficult for you. So for example, in a hospital, if you have got 1.5 Tesla MRI machine. You tend to use it for a longer time. In the market now, in the newer hospitals, 3 Tesla machine is available, which is much faster, gives a much more precision for the diagnosis of various conditions. But you tend to use the older machine, which will lead to lesser diagnostic acumen on the part of your neurophysicians, neurosurgeons and all, leading to sometimes misdiagnosis, or at times you may have to send your patient to some other center, which will lead to the image of the hospital being adversely affected, saying that the latest things are not available here, and hence the patient turnover will reduce. So overall, that's a problem as far as your clientele is concerned, and hence, and at times there is increased throughput times also, which will be leading to lot of money wastage. What are the benefits of inventory? It's an hedge against uncertain demand. If suddenly you require more, then yes, you will be able to manage that. Suppose there is a disaster, suppose there is an epidemic, lot of patients will come to your casualty, and for them, suppose there is a food poisoning, you have got adequate number and amount of drugs available to take care of this food poisoning, say IV fluids, anti-emetic injections for medicines for your the loose motion, dysentery, etc., and antacids and all. And at times, because of the epidemic in the surrounding locality, other hospitals may not be having sufficient, and the stores also may not be having sufficient of drugs, then it is likely that you will get more number of patients, and it will give a better name to your hospital. So it's a hedge against uncertain demand sometimes. Hedge against uncertain supply. If the vendors are not able to supply the material at the right time, then if you have got sufficient amount of inventory available, then it is a kind of hedge against that. So still you are able to function your hospital smoothly and your services are not adversely affected. When you ask in bulk, definitely bulk discount you are going to get. So it will economize on ordering costs, and there will be some smoothing, because the reorder level is, you have got sufficient time, sufficient lead time available with you. So in case some scheme is going on whereby in a particular scheme you can ask for more drugs, it will give you more advantage of the cost. To summarize, we build and keep inventory in order to match supply and demand in the most cost effective way. So these are some of the benefits of inventory. Modeling of inventory in a supply chain can be supplier, maybe having some warehouses are there where a lot of inventory may be kept, and in retail shops usually they keep lot of inventory because variety of things are required for them to sell, and the customers are the kings there. They need anything, it should be available there. There's a home depot. Our inventory consists of up to 35,000 different kinds of building materials in a home depot, home improvement supplies and lawn and garden products. So huge number of inventory items are there in a home depot. We currently offer thousands of products in our online store also. We offer approximately 250,000 more products through our special order, through our special order services. So one can specially order certain things which are not available everywhere, but in home depot, online also, they are ready to give you because of the high inventory they have got. Now, what are the various types of inventory models? One is multi-period model, where you have got repeat business, same thing you are producing again and again, and multiple orders you are getting for it, so it's a bulk order that you get at times. There can be single period model, where single selling season is there and selling order is there. For example, mango, usually it's only available in the summer. So multi period, you have on hand inventory, supply. Once you get the order, you supply it and give it to the customer. So you have got ordering cost as well as the holding cost. Key questions are, how often to review your orders, when to place an order, how much to order, and how much stock to keep. These are the things you will have to answer. If you want optimal inventory with you, you should know repeatedly how many you are getting orders on an average. So accordingly, how much inventory you will have to keep, how often you can review this, when you should place the order, so that based on the lead time of the supplier, you know that within this time you should be able to get, and how much to order based on the number of customers you have got, number of multiple orders you are regularly getting, and ultimately what is the uncertainty about that product, whether they have got, you have got sufficient number of suppliers and vendors who can take into consideration in case one vendor is not able to supply, other is ready to supply. So based on all the factors, you can think of how much to stock to keep, because finally whatever amount of stock you keep, there is going to be some inventory carrying cost. So whenever there is a demand, it will go to the retailer, and the supplier will produce from retailer will procure the thing from supplier. So demand is known and deterministic, D units per year. He knows roughly this is the demand. We have a known ordering cost S, and immediate replenishment is possible whenever you have got multiple vendors available. Annual holding cost of average inventory is say H per unit, and purchasing cost is C per unit. Then the total cost will be equal to purchasing cost plus ordering cost plus inventory cost. Now purchasing cost will be equal to what? Total units multiplied by cost per unit. Suppose you are asking for 1000 units and cost per unit is say 20 rupees, then 20 into 1000 will be 20,000 rupees. Then what is the ordering cost? It is the number of orders multiplied by cost per order. So if you are ordering 4 times a year, and per order, if the cost will be say around 100 rupees, then it will be 4 into 100, that is 400. And what is the inventory cost? It is the average inventory into holding cost. Over a period of year, what is the average inventory you are holding, and what is the holding cost that will occur because of the rent of the place, because of the staff to be appointed who is going to take care of that, because of the person who is going to issue, who is going to check, who is going to see to it that there is no pilferage occurs, so security guard will be there. So all these holding costs will be required to be taken into consideration. So ultimately the total cost will be equal to purchasing cost plus ordering cost plus inventory cost. Let's say we decide to order in batches of Q, inventory position. So number of periods will be D by Q. So the average inventory for each period will be Q by 2, that is, in the center we can see period over which demand for Q has occurred, and this is the total time taken. So this is every 2 months or 3 months we are asking for. So purchasing cost will be equal to D into C, ordering cost will be D by Q, and inventory cost will be Q by 2 multiplied by H. This is how we can. So what is the total cost? DC plus D by Q S plus Q by 2 H. In order now to find the optimal quantity, we need to optimize the total cost with respect to the decision variable, that is the variable we control. Which one is the decision variable? How many times we are going to ask for it? So what is the main insight from EOQ, that is economic order quantity? There is a trade-off between holding cost and ordering cost. So if we plot a graph of cost versus ordering quantity versus cost, we can see that the holding cost like this, it's a straight line. The ordering cost will go down as we order more and more quantity, and the total cost will be based on both these costs. So it's a kind of parabola like this, and the center of this at the middle will be the EOQ. So one can have the formula of economic order quantity Q equal to square root of 2SD divided by H. So assume a car dealer that faces demand of 5000 cars per year, and that it costs $15,000 to have the cars shipped to the dealership. Holding cost is estimated to be $500 per car per year. So how many times should the dealer order, and what should be the order size? So Q equal to 2SD, S is 15,000 into 5000, that is the 5000 cars, D divided by H, that is 500. So it will be equal to 548. So the order size should be 548. If delivery is not instantaneous, but there is a lead time, when to order, how much to order. So order quantity Q and inventory based on the time, that is the lead time, we can have this. D is the demand per period, L is the lead time. Here you can see the lead time. So reorder point comes at the place where this meets, and that is the order one has to place, and this is the time when we are going to receive the order based on the lead time. ROP equal to L into D. So when shall we order? A, when the inventory is equal to ROP. Q, how much shall we order? A is to Q equal to EOQ, that is economic order quantity. So what if the lead time to receive is 10 days? So since D is given in years, first convert 10 days into year, that is 10 by 365. So R equal to 10 by 365 into D, that is 10 by 365 into 5000, that is 137. So when the number of cars on the lot reaches 137, order 548 cars more, so that at the optimal time you are asking for it, so that there is no stock out, at the same time you are able to sell whenever the customer comes. So this is how, based on the lead time, we can understand when should we place the reorder and how much reorder we are supposed to put. But demand is rarely predictable, so that is where the inventory level order quantity we have seen here on the ROP, where you are placing the order and receiving the order, inventory at time of receipt is this much. So there is going to be some lead time demand also. So actual demand is less than expected demand many times, and hence one can, and if there is actual demand which is more than expected, then we can get stock out at times, because there is some unfulfilled demand which is not met by the reorder that we are putting. So if ROP is equal to expected demand, service level is 50% and inventory left is 50% of the time, stock out 50% of the time. So ROP equal to expected demand, and this you can see on an average. And hence, to reduce stockouts, we should add some safety stock every time. So you can have some safety stock always to be kept, whereby the stockout will not occur. So ROP should be equal to actually safety stock plus expected lead time demand. And order quantity Q equal to EOQ. So this is how you can have some safety stock. Safety factor Z into standard deviation in LT demand. So read Z from normal table for a given service level. Now the caution is, still one has to see to it that the standard deviation in LT demand variance over multiple periods equal to sum of variances of each period, that is assuming independence, and standard deviation over multiple periods is the square root of the sum of the variances, not the sum of the standard deviations. One should remember that the standard deviation over multiple period is equal to the square root of the sum of the variances. So square root of variance 1 plus variance 2 plus variance 3 like that, and it is not just the addition of variance 1 plus 2 plus 3. So average inventory should be equal to order quantity divided by 2 plus safety stock. If you keep this kind of average inventory, then you are able to manage your inventory well and optimize. At the same time, there won't be any stock outs occurring. So how to find ROP and Q? EOQ equal to square root of 2HD by H. To find ROP, determine the service level, that is the probability of not stocking out. Find the safety factor from it, from a Z table or from the graph. Find standard deviation in LT demand, square root law. So standard deviation in LT demand equal to standard deviation in daily demand, square root of day in LT. So sigma LT equal to sigma D square root of LT. So safety stock is given by SS, that is safety factor into standard deviation in LT demand, and reorder point is ROP equal to expected LT demand plus SS, and average inventory should be SS plus EOQ divided by 2. So this is how you can calculate. So back to the car lot, if we see, recall the lead time is 10 days and the expected yearly demand is 5000. You estimate the standard deviation of daily demand to be 6. When should the reorder be there? If you want 90% sure that don't run out of cars. So since the expected yearly demand is 5000, the expected demand over the lead time is 5000 divided by 10 upon 365, which is 137 as we have calculated. And the Z value corresponding to a service level of 0.95 is 1.65, and so the ROP equal to 137 plus 1.65 square root of 10 up into 36, which will be equal to 168. So order 548 cars when the inventory level drops to 168, so that 95% of time you are sure that you are not going to run out of the stock, which is a reasonable thing for a person who is selling car or for the company who is selling car. So with this, we have completed the important aspect of how we should manage the inventory, and inventory control is very, very important for a hospital, because it's a vital service that we are providing to the patients, and hence one should never have the stock out of the vital drugs, injections and very important equipments, so that we can give the best service to our patients, and at the same time we should not run out of stock anytime as far as possible, in spite of getting sometimes the multiple patients coming to us. So some safety stock also will be keeping it, in order that we are able to run our hospital very smoothly, even though there is a variation of patients coming to our hospital. And now the important aspect, and that is financial management. Well, to run any organization, we need finances right from beginning till the end. We need capital budget for purchasing the land, for making the preparing the all the departments of the hospital, for purchasing the equipments, material. As we have already seen, that 30 to 40% of the cost for the hospital goes towards the materials. So we need lot of money for that. So capital budget is required by the entrepreneurs or the trustees of the hospital, who are going to provide us for starting the hospital and improving the facilities periodically, so that latest technology, equipments and services we can provide to our patients. At the same time, to run the hospital, we need lot of money periodically, every month, as far as the rents are concerned, the taxes are concerned, the salary of our employees are concerned, the salary of the employees, right from doctors, nurses, paramedicals, sweepers, engineers, HR people, all the people we need. Plus, lot of money will go towards the taxes in the form of income tax, sales tax, octroi, excise, Then some of the statutory requirement where regularly we'll have to pay the fees. So even revenue budget also needs lot of money for that, and hence to have the right kind of working capital to run the hospital smoothly, one should manage the finances optimally in the best possible way, then only one can give the patient services to the best possible way, and hence the customer satisfaction and delight will be there. So what are the financial objectives of a hospital? If we see, it should provide financial resources for all essential services and then for desirable services. Some of the services are essential. For example, for a district hospital, as we have seen earlier, most of the specialized services are needed in the form of medicine, gynec, obstetric, pediatrics, surgical, OPD services, casualty, ICU, but super specialty services like nephrology, neurosurgery, the neurophysician and all, and the teaching hospital, they are not needed for it. So the earlier one we saw was essential services, the later may be desirable. So the financial management should be occurring in such a way that at least essential services should never suffer. One has to maintain service charges within reach of people. When we are running a hospital, when people are coming to you, when the patients are coming to you, they should be able to afford that kind of money. That you will have to think over. At the same time, there should be some free and concessional care for the poor and needy patients. Ultimately, some of the very poor patients are going to come who cannot afford, but medicine being a noble profession, when you are running a hospital, it's your obligation to see to it that you are providing them even free services or at a concessional rate, so that even they should be getting the most important vital services for their life and for their diseases that they are suffering, even though they are not able to afford. Improve employee satisfaction is also very important, because ultimately these people are working day and night giving the services to the needy patients, and they have to run their family. They should have some basic facilities and necessities for their day-to-day life, so they should be kept happy and motivated to work for your hospital for a longer time. In that case, you'll have to improve employee satisfaction by giving them good remuneration, perks, housing, and continuous medical education training, whereby they can improve their personal development also should occur, and they should be given very soft loans at a very cheaper rate, so that they can afford to buy whatever they need for their comfort. At the same time, the hospital should be self-sufficient. They need not rely on donations all the time. They have to provide community health development services as well. Ultimately, it is the community at large for which the hospital is running. So even they have to see to it that the community development occurs. Their health awareness, hygiene awareness also should improve, and they have to regularly organize certain medical camps for them, health education talks for them. So while planning for the finances of a hospital, one has to think from both perspectives, and that is short term, that is day to day, monthly, as well as long term, over a period of years, to improve upon the newer and newer facilities, newer and newer technologies that are coming up, and based on the need of the community around. So one has to think both in the short term as well as the long term financial planning. The hospital should have clear cut policies established and displayed in the hospital, whereby people should know how much advance is to be given at the beginning when they are getting admitted. What are the rules and regulations of this hospital? What are the charges normally? What are some of the packages for some of the surgeries and all? There should be a service mix and decisions regarding specialization. You should have various kinds of specializations based on the need of the community around. The pricing should be reasonable so that people can afford. There should be free and concessional care also for poor and lower middle class patients, respectively. There should be sufficient amount of community health in the form of health and hygiene lectures, screening camps. There should be continuous research going on for the newer development of clinical acumen, the diagnosis, therapeutics, clinical trials for the drugs. At the same time, the services should grow further year by year, and there should be better and better modernization of the hospital and expansion of the hospital that should occur so that we can compete with the latest corporate hospitals world over that are coming up at a global level, because medical tourism is also one of the important aspects in today's world. Financial officer's role, if we see, the information on past experience, what was the capital budget, revenue budget for the last year, what is the inflation rate that is going on, what's the new research that is happening, what are the requirements, considering the past experience and the overall historical trend of the hospital services that your hospital is having, one can think about budgeting for the next year. What are the various additions and modifications required in services of the hospital based on the requirement of the community around and based on the latest developments that are occurring in the medical and paramedical field? One should provide data on environment, that is, what is the population changes that are occurring. If we see that there is lot of migration occurring, then probably the rural population also earlier were there, now are being transferred to cities for getting the jobs, and they are prone to many of the diseases, especially because they are going to stay in slums, they can't afford housing here. So when they stay in slums, there are various communicable diseases they can suffer from. Better immunization is required for the children. So considering all that, one should know what's the environmental changes in the form of population that is occurring, the diversity of population, the demography of it, what is the price trend that is going up in all commodities and in other hospitals. What are the rules and regulations by politicians that are coming up? That also you'll have to think over, because you'll have to comply with all the rules and regulations. As we have seen, the biomedical waste management rule was not earlier there, but it has come from 2000 onwards. Translate effect of changes in policy. So one has to translate the effect in changes based on the policy. Earlier days, there was no policy of the Bombay Municipal Corporation regarding PC and PNDT Act that you will have to send the obstetric scan reports daily online to the Bombay Municipal Corporation. So you will have to comply with that. So accordingly, you will have to have the right kind of softwares, the internet available with you. And based on the government trends that are there, the payment trends that are there in various corporate hospitals, semi-charitable hospitals and all, you will have to pay that much to your own staff, otherwise they are not going to stay with you. So right kind of pay scales and perks you will have to give. Financial performance variance, how it is occurring seasonally, year by year, and coordinate annual budget. And finally, the financial officer will have to coordinate the annual budget of all the departments in such a way that there is no, the funds are adequately available for revenue budget as well as for the capital budget.